Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Sunita, good afternoon.
Hi, hello.
First of all, congratulations. You got married very recently this month in Kuala Lumpur in your home country of Malaysia, but you've been living in Ireland and working here with your husband. And then you've arrived back here 2 days after St. Valentine's Day last weekend to organise the Irish end of the ceremony, which is on this Sunday. Misfortune, unfortunately, has befallen you in Dublin city centre last night. What happened, Sunita?
Okay, so I parked my car at Loftus Lane, and I was going into Aldi to get chocolates and, you know, sweets for our friends and, you know, our friends here in Ireland who couldn't attend the wedding.
Okay.
So I just wanted to get things, you know, sweets and things like that.
And Loftus Lane, just to remind people from outside Dublin, it's behind Parnell Street. It's behind the big car park there, the Cineplex, isn't it?
Yes.
Cineworld. Oh, okay. Yes. So you were going into the nearby Aldi to get all the gifts for the people who are coming on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so it was Eurogiant, Aldi, and then I was there for about 2 hours.
Okay.
And then I got back into the car. It was quite dark. I left. I drove to my husband's place, which is like 10 minutes away.
Okay.
And after I parked the car, when I got off the car to take out my belongings, I realized that the window, the back window of the on the left side was smashed, and there was glass everywhere, and all my belongings were missing. So the thing is that I'm quite upset with myself because I've never left any belongings in the car, but I was traveling. I don't live in Dublin, so I was traveling to Dublin, and I had those belongings with me, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to pop in for a while and head to his. So, you know, I kind of hid it under two overcoats.
Okay.
So nobody could see in unless they took a light and they shined through it. And probably then they can see that there was a cabin bag and a white shopping bag there. Now, the problem is that in those bags, I had priceless belongings to me from the wedding and also things that held lots of sentimental value. So I've made a police report. I've called a few times. I'm very upset.
Okay, now we'll go through it all in a sec. But part of the valuables that were stolen from the back of your car last night in Dublin were traditional costumes that you were going to wear at your Irish wedding ceremony on Sunday.
Yes. Yes, it was my traditional costumes that I brought from Malaysia that was gifted by my mother-in-law. It also had my wedding jewelry, which was 22 karat gold. I also had CDs and video footages of my last memories with my father, whom I've not seen in years and years and years now. And then my engagement pictures, videos, my husband—I mean, with my husband—even the wedding pictures—they were in USBs, and I also had my iPhones, three of my iPhones, which are no longer being used. But I wanted my husband to transfer those pictures and memories in the phone for slideshows and video footages. So I've lost all of that. I'm currently here without any clothes right now. I've been calling to no clothes, no personal belongings, nothing with me right now. I've been to the Gardaí station. I've made a report last night, and they told me that the cops will be out at my husband's place this morning for fingerprints. And I asked them if somebody could have a look yesterday, and they said no, the earliest would be this morning. There were two police officers that came by, but they couldn't find any fingerprints. And my husband is a cybercrime expert, so he suggested CCTV footage. And I'm not getting any news back. I really don't know. I've been ringing and...
Okay, now, Sunita, were any of the bags with these costumes which are needed for Sunday for your Irish end, the Irish leg of your wedding?
Yeah.
Were any? Was there any name on the bag? Was there anything identifiable?
There was no name. It was a red cabin bag. I have a picture of it. I have a picture of one of the outfits.
Would you send us in the picture as soon as you can and we'll tweet it?
Yes.
From upstairs. And because what usually happens, and we get on to our friends in the cleansing department in Moore Street, Dublin City Council, just behind the Dublin City Council cleansing department, just off Moore Street. And they empty all the bins in that area. And there's a possibility they could have dumped the bag. What I'm saying is, if when they see these traditional Malaysian costumes, will they automatically think they're valuable?
I guess so. Yes, because they're not exactly Malaysian. We are of Indian descent, and my husband's Indian. So, it's mostly Indian outfits.
Okay.
I even sent a message, just to let you know. I sent a message on Find My iPhone because the phones were all offline.
Of course,
and we even told them that we would give them a reward if they returned all those belongings back to us, because I know it's of no use to them except for the electronics.
Well, they'll see the mobile phones.
No, so far the phones are all
offline.
No, but
I'm saying that whoever's broke into your car will see the mobile phones. Well, they'll get a few bob for them. They'll see the jewellery.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, is there any way, like, for people, if anyone's working in the area of Parnell Street, Loftus Lane there, which is behind Bolton Street College, then we go across, I always take a shortcut across Dominic Street to get into Parnell Square, and you go across the flats there, there's numbers of sets of flats. There's a wonderful school there, Mount Carmel Secondary School, just opposite Bolton Street. I'm just wondering if there was anyone in that area that found that. Just give us the identity.
I will try to see if I have any pictures. I'm sorry, I'm just very distressed because we just returned to Ireland and we were looking forward to starting a happy married life, and then I'm currently in my clothes from yesterday and I have nothing with me here, and the memories actually, like, I've lost everything and I don't have a copy of any of the memories. And
we try and appeal to these people. Now, if they're handed in to, if they are local, there's the Dominican Presbytery there. A great group of padres up there in St. Saviour's Priory at the top of Dominic Street. If they are local, if anyone finds anything, the Garda station would be Store Street.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
And I'm really hoping somebody will have a look at the CCTV footage, because it's a lot of things. Nobody can go unnoticed with all those things, you know?
And is there any way we can get you replacement costumes for Sunday? Would anyone else in Ireland have similar costumes, or are they unique to your mother-in-law? Do you follow me? Did she?
No, I'm sure it's. Yeah, of course it's unique. It was purchased in India, and she gave it to me during my wedding in Malaysia. But you see, the costumes, yes, they are dear to me. But we are more worried about all those pictures and the memories and the.
They wouldn't have been. You mentioned your you mentioned your. Your husband in cybersecurity, would those photographs not be backed up anywhere on the cloud or whatever?
Because we just came back. So that's the reason why I brought all those photographs with me, for him to back up.
Oh, okay.
So, that's the reason why I brought everything and kept it in that cabinet.
Okay. Is there any identifiable stickers or covers on the phones that might help identify? Were they Apple iPhones?
Yeah, all three. It was two were very old ones, but they had memories of, like, my dad, my grandmom, things like that. So one was an Apple iPhone 5C, the other was 5S, and the current one was 8 Plus, which I was using, and it ran out of battery, so I just left it there. Yeah. And it was very silly of me. It's the first time I've done this, and misfortune had to strike. So,
and you mentioned when you contacted us there just before the program, They're priceless memories on these phones and USB sticks. My last pictures with my dad, with my father, who I've not seen since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So they're really important.
They're very important. They're the only memories and pictures I have of him.
And do you know how many photographs will be on between the four phones? How many photographs do you think, including your wedding photographs, of course?
Wedding, there were so many sent to us. I think I might have like 13,000 pictures or something altogether. Okay. Maybe more. I'm sorry.
Okay, not to worry. And I'm just trying to think, if somebody tries to go into a shop and say, these are my old iPhones, will you take them? I'm just trying to, if there's anything identifiable, one of the shops might contact us. The jewellery, was that worth a lot of money?
Yes, about 4,000 to 5,000 euros, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So it was. I don't know. I can't think right now because
yeah, I know.
I'm still under shock, and I really
yeah,
really hope
I know,
that
Sunita, I understand that.
Yeah, the Gardaí was good last night. They did help me, but today now I rang them again for the CCTV, and I was told the officer in charge of my keys is on leave until Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping some other officer can actually.
And
have a look. I can't wait until Tuesday.
I understand, because the ceremony's on Sunday. And Sunita, has anyone, well, it might be difficult for you, the trauma, but has anyone gone back into Loftus Lane beside Parnell Street and had a look around the rubbish
Not
bins?
Not today, but I went back yesterday.
Oh,
and
did you?
We tried with my husband, and we tried looking around, you know.
And what time did you go back in at?
I think we went back at about 12 a.m. or something.
Okay.
It was like, yeah, after the police report and everything, we just went back again to have a look because we were told to wait until morning fingerprints.
But was it dark when you went back in?
Yes, it was. And
I'm trying to think, is there any, I'm trying to think of people up around that part of the, it's near Capel Street, which is a great street between Brereton's and Louis Copeland and Romano's and Hot Bubble and all the different great shops along there. If we could get someone, even a few people, to go out looking in the rubbish bins, try and find a red bag, try and find any of those phones.
I was told by the Gardaí officer that most of my outfits are of no use to them, so they will be dumped. Like, they will be thrown away. And, so if anybody could find them, really... In regards to the electronics and the accessories, I was told that will be sold off at minimum pricing.
And there's USB sticks.
Quite a few, and one hard disk of 2 terabytes with pictures. Yeah,
that stuff is fairly identical. Well, the hard drive, the. Are you going to go ahead with the ceremony on Sunday?
No.
Oh, are you not? Oh, God.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
really
that.
Very, very disturbed and upset.
I'm sorry to hear that now.
So, I don't think so, no. I'm just hoping by some miracle I'll get my belongings back. I don't even mind paying those people if I have to, but I just want them back really badly.
So you have... Tell me about this message that... you've programmed into the phones if they're turned on.
So my husband went into my iCloud, you know, to find my iPhone app, and he wrote a message stating that if this phone is returned to us with all the belongings that went missing, we would pay you, how much was it? 500 euros.
Yeah.
He wrote 500 euros there, and he said, you know, we would give you a significant amount, return back our belongings. But the phones are still switched off. And
I just wonder what somebody, would anybody go in? I don't know what happens to these phones. Do they go in and try and pawn them off in those phone shops, which are brilliant, those phone shops all around Dublin now, Talbot Street, Capel Street, O'Connell Street, Moore Street. Do they go in with these phones and say, these are old phones I found in the drawer, will you give me... And if we could find out if anyone has come in the last 24 hours with a number of phones... A five C.
Three phones.
Yeah, three phones. But
the
iPhone 5 is an unusual one at this stage.
It's a very old one.
Very old one, I know.
Yeah, I just kept it for the pictures and all of that. Like, I took it out. I never used the phones. I just took it out to get the pictures and all transferred for me. And I also had, as I mentioned, the CD with... My first birthday with my dad, and that's the only memory I have with him. It's an entire video, I think an an hour long video of my birthday celebration with my dad. And
Okay, Tony, let's try and spread this out. Tony, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you? I'm just seeing and listening to the show about that lady who lost her belongings.
Sunita, yeah. Right? Well, they were stolen last night.
Yeah, they are. That's normal procedure in the area, right?
I used to walk in the area in the Summerhill area,
okay? Yeah. So the best option is to look at the closest set of stairs or waste bin that is enclosed nearest to where the crime took place, right?
Now, where's the closest set of stairs? Is in that multi-story car park?
It is, yeah, yeah. You'd probably find it under the stairs or something like that.
Who runs that car park? Can we ring them?
I don't know, but what it is, Joe, is that's their job. First, is stealing, right? So, the best way of
whose job? Whose job?
The people that steal. That's their everyday job. That's what they do, right?
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Okay. Take a
so, if you look at it in a constructive way, the best way of her getting any of our items back is to either go there and to the local area and put out a reward for her belongings.
It's Parkright, apparently, who run the car park in. Maybe we can ring Parkright and see.
They would probably know some of the local lads. Now, like, they're not going to come forward if the guards are involved. That's the standard procedure. We used to get a lot of people's bags and handbags and coats, like, when they were stolen. It's a reward system that they
Somebody has to go back down there the next hour.
The lady's going to have to go back down there to the local and speak to people that are local on the corner. They may know of some people because, unfortunately, the people that steal have to either supply a habit of drugs, which is unfortunate in the inner city. That's just normal life.
Yeah.
And the best way is approaching the people with decorum. They'll never get it back if they start bringing the guards. I know the guards like to help and convict people and all. That's their job. But to get our personal belongings back, that's the best way of approaching it, Joe.
So you say, hopefully the bins weren't collected. Now, there is a couple of blocks of flats, and they have those big wheelie bins, haven't they?
Those, the people in
that
the
only a certain truck would empty. Only a certain type of truck.
The people in the flats, Joe, are very, very good.
I know that.
And
I'm trying to find bins. I think of bins that might be nearby that people might look in for us to see. Can they find a red cabin bag? Can they? This USB sticks. They'd be like a. I don't want to say this when Sunita's on the line, but anyway, that might be hard to find. If people
It's great that you're helping the person now, Joe. And the reason why I rang, I was listening to your program. That was an everyday occurrence for years and years and years where I worked. Right. And the only way to get anything back is either to see the locals and offer a reward. It's the only way that possible for her to get her personal photographs back. They're not very bad people. They just sell everything on. That's all.
Yeah, I know what you mean exactly.
Right. And the best option is the guards can search and search and search, but the guards have 20, 30, 40 complaints a day.
Yeah,
it's just standard procedure in the city, Joe.
And where were you based, Tony?
I used to be down in Summerhill.
Okay.
Along by Parnell Street.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And it's unfortunate. A lot of people suffer crime, but this is the reality of the Dublin city when people are homeless and are hungry. It's just one of those things, Joe.
Yeah, it's probably not. I don't know if. I doubt if it was. Like, anyway, for homeless people, don't go robbing cars.
No, not speaking. I'm not degrading homeless people. I'm just saying that people have no way of paying rent.
Sunita, what type of car was it?
It was a Nissan Micra.
Yes. Well, as I said, if she goes locally, Joe, there's a lot of people down, Chinese people in Parnell Square that run businesses down there, and they may know local.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And it may be just... if it's an opportunist... Joe, what they do is they start everything straight away.
Yeah, it is always opportunistic.
They'll keep the phones. But they may go to the local church, as you said, and hand them in for a reward. Somebody, they might be able to give them to somebody and get the reward and collect them. The people won't come forward themselves because they'll be convicted.
I know, I understand that.
The reason why I rang is that a lot of people in the inner city are very, very good. Even the people that do the crime are good people. They're just destitute for money, Joe. That's all.
Okay.
Right?
Tony, that's a good start. Okay, anyone in the Loftus Lane, which is off Parnell Street, which is behind Cineworld, which is beside by the Park Right car park, which is a great car park there, busy car park. Then you're out into Dominic Street, then you're out into Capel Street, then you're out into King's Inn Street, then you're out into Parnell Street. Then you're it's a whole maze up there. It's a lovely, very fascinating part of the city. Harry Crosby's phoned in. Harry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. I was there last night.
Okay, in that area?
I was at a do in a pop-up venue in what used to be the old Williams & Woods factory.
Oh, yeah, the chocolate factory.
On the corner there of the King's Inns. And okay. it was an event being run by my granddaughter, Lizzie Dunning. She was running the Trinity Fashion Show, and it was terrific. And when we came out, because I'm in the development business, I walked around that area for a good half an hour on my own, just looking at how the city is evolving and the evolution of what's happening to the quality of life. And before I heard you today, I was struck last night about how harsh the environment of the inner city has become. And the street lighting was very, very poor. And even I felt slightly uneasy in around that street, because it's so dark, and with the new 8-story buildings, there's very little light spill
good
onto
point,
the street
yeah.
the way it
yeah.
used to be. And I felt there was a whole crowd of young ladies from Trinity walking along near me, and I just saw how vulnerable they were in the new streetscape that's evolving in
and
the
Loft,
inner city.
Loftus Lane, which is a new streetscape, it's not a
yes,
new street.
Yes.
It's there's nobody living on it. Sure, there's not.
No, that's the point. It was very, very dark and forbidding. And it may, if someone like me, an old soldier, can feel it, those young girls feel threatened, and what happened to that young lady is dreadful. But the first man is right. The only way you can get it back is to send out the word that you won't involve the police. But the reason for my call is that the street lighting in the inner city over a long period has disimproved markedly, and the light spill from the big buildings going up is much less than it used to be, because a lot of these places are not being used at night or people are living overseas or whatever. But I just found the whole walk from Bolton Street back down to Parnell Street last night was dark and forbidding, and I'm calling you because it struck me, and if it strikes me, somebody should pay attention to it in the design of the new inner city. That's what I'm saying.
Someone else said there's on one side of Loftus Lane there's not a single street light. Single street light.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a coincidence that I noticed it last night, and I stood and watched. And I'm someone who really knows what he's looking at. And there was no light spill or sign of life from all those big monolithic blocks of flats running up along the street.
Okay.
And when we came out of the fantastic event being run by the young ladies of Trinity College, it was really marked how vulnerable those young people were.
Harry, actually, when I saw your name coming up on the screen, I said there was a day when you owned the hotel, and that where you'd be ringing in to when people were stuck like this to offer them a room at the hotel. But you don't own the hotel anymore, unfortunately. Sure, you don't.
No, but that doesn't mean
I know that.
I would be delighted. And if that young lady comes up to Vicar Street at any time, we would be delighted to have her as our guest.
Okay.
And if we can help in any way, give her my number and I'll go up and help. I would be delighted.
Okay. And your truck...
Ask her to ring me and I'll go up and help, because I'm well used to dealing with situations like this.
Okay. And I see the Henry A. Crosby, your trucking company, who started that? Your grandfather.
That's correct.
That's gone as well.
1936, we had to shut down. We lost a court battle with Dublin Port over our lease. So there you are.
After many years, there was a
trucking
company.
Well, they started in 1936.
And will we still see those beautifully painted van trucks you have, Henry A. Crosby and so on?
No.
Gone.
And all you see is my photograph, if you want to find it. Poor old me on my own.
Crippled by shyness. It's a tough word.
Crippled by shyness.
Well, thanks for that, Harry. And you mind yourself.
And don't forget, if that young lady, give her my number, and if
she
wants
need
to
any
go
help,
go up on the street with her tonight, I'd be delighted.
Okay.
Bye.
That's Harry Crosby. Sunita, we've been on to the car park, or they got on to us when they heard. They've gone through the bins and they haven't found anything, unfortunately. They say they emptied the bins at 11 o'clock last night in the car park, and they use clear plastic bags to empty the bins. and they're having a look through them, but there's nothing so far. Nothing jumped out at them. They didn't see a bag. If you could, either yourself or your husband could send us in a photo. If you have you photographs of the bag even?
Yeah, we have a photograph of a bag that's similar to mine.
Okay, like well, then we just
found it online.
Would you send that in and the lads upstairs will tweet it immediately, and we try and get, hopefully, people will retweet it. Because I think that's the key to try to find some stuff, something identifiable.
We will do that.
And asking anyone in that area, Parnell Street, Loftus Lane, Capel Street, over towards Dominic Street, beyond Dominic Street, Granby Lane, King's Inn Street, the St. Saviour's Priory there, up into Dorset Street, the old fire station there. Anyone in that area, if you're walking by, two things do for me. One, just have a look into a... Don't put your hand into the bin now. Have a look into the bin and see, can you see anything? And two, if you are walking by one of those phone shops, I know a lot of them, I was in one the other day, they're brilliant shops, but it was run by a chap from Pakistan, as it happens, Sunita, a lovely guy, but they mightn't listen to Liveline, I suspect. So if anyone is near any of those phone shops in Moore Street, Talbot Street, Capel Street, Parnell Street, would you just stick your head in and say, have you heard about that woman... Irish end of our wedding is on Sunday. Two iPhone 5s. That's the critical difference. Did anyone come in and offer to try and sell you iPhones in the last 24 hours? Maybe that might help. Sunita, I'm so sorry. How long have you been living in Ireland?
Since 2016.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're going to stay. You said your husband is he working here as well?
Yeah, he is. He's been here since 2015.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry that your wedding
so
has been
over. I was just hoping by, some faint luck.
Well, there are good people out there. You know that. You heard Tony and Harry there and other people in the area. The car park are going to have another look. Parkright Car Park in Parnell Street.
No, I would like to thank everyone.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Trying to find for us. It really does mean a lot to me. And I'll probably head back there as well and try to have a look myself.
Would have maybe bring a friend or two. And
And if
you send us in that photograph, if you send
anywhere
that, if you email that photograph to joe@liveline.ie, joe@rte.ie, or tweet it and tag us in it. We'll retweet it. Sunita, first of all, congratulations and many years of happiness.
Thank you.
Secondly, apologies that this misfortune has befallen you, and hopefully we'll be able to get especially your photographs, some of them back.
Yeah.
Sunita, thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 51551.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It's a widespread scam. Stay with this one. Has nobody invented anything? Nobody come up with anything that will protect catalytic converters and underneath cars? Hilary, good afternoon in Dunleary. Hilary, what happened?
Good afternoon, Joe.
Well,
very, very simple, very straightforward. I was going up to blow the candles out of my grandson's birthday cake. He's 9. I went up to my daughter and I was there for about, I'd say, an hour exactly. Came out, behind my car, I saw another car parked, and as I approached the car moved away. I got into my car, turned the engine on, and it sounded as if I was somewhere in the back. Unbelievable. I said, oh, Jamie. So my son-in-law came out and had a look, and he said, oh, it's probably to do with the back to this. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I brought it up to the garage, and they said, I'm sorry to tell you, Hilary, your catalytic converter has been taken. And not only that, they ripped other wires as well. Now, I think that the car who was behind my car, if I'd come out 5 minutes earlier, I would have probably caught them in the act. But my daughter said it was probably just as well I didn't. So that's it.
And how old is your car, by the way?
Well, now, it is. I'm older. My car is 2000. But it was a wonderful little car, and I only use it. I had a great fellow in the garage who had been a great help in helping me get it, and I only bring it to play golf and bring the grandchildren to school. So I felt absolutely gutted. I cried, to say literally.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I did. Well, God love me.
Yeah. Oh, I can understand.
No, it was heartbreaking. And to think how easy it was done. As my daughter pointed out, as I was told then, some of the catalytic converters in the older cars, mine was a Honda, in the older cars are more valuable content of, I don't know, what sort of stuff in them than the modern ones. And Jennifer said, It wasn't in a big car parking place. I could have been followed. They could have spotted. This is a likely car now. If she gets out, we'll have a go at it. So, I have no idea.
Hilary, do you reckon you saw the people who stole it?
Oh, without a shadow, I'd say. The car parked up. Now, it was dark when I got out. Yeah. I just saw that it was a big tannish-coloured car and had big hatchback. And literally, it had the lights on. And I was approaching my car. They took off. That was it. I didn't think about looking for reg numbers or anything else like that. I thought everything was hunky-dory, you know.
Is your car a write-off?
It is gone to the scrapyard, that's all I can say. It would be 2,000 to 3,000 or something like to get it all sorted out. Yeah, so I don't think the car value. So listen, I'm on the lookout for a decent car now.
Okay. What type of car was it?
Oh, well, I mean, something I'm used to, like a Merc, you know.
No, what type of car was your car?
Well, my car was a Honda Accord. A beauty.
As I say, we could do these calls every day, these catalytic converters, common. But why hasn't anyone invented it? If the security on a car now is second to none, it's better than the security on a
house. Absolutely.
So why hasn't anyone invented something that encases a catalytic converter or sets off an alarm
in the installation. When they're installing the catalog, I didn't even know where one was, to be honest, the junk was taken from
But however,
it would be interesting. When I rang the guards, they said it's happening every day of the week.
Well, that
doesn't solve anybody's problem.
Yeah, well, that's the end of your your car.
It's the end of my car. I get on my walking shoes now. Well, I have very good friends who pick me up and drop me off. My daughter does the same. But it's the feeling all of a sudden. I said, God, at my old age, I'm feeling, oh, God, I could be able to hop into the car and say, I'll go here, there. No, I can flash my path, you know, but I'm not that near to the dark or the Lewis. So I felt very gutted because I felt, here you are, you know what I mean? And they've taken away your freedom. You know what I mean? Your freedom of, I'm going to go here and I'll go there. That's all come to an end.
And the thing, what they're looking for in the catalytic converters are the platinum, either platinum, palladium or rhodium, depending on how old the car is. So that's the valuable bit, believe it or not.
So they only use it for selling the parts. They don't use it to put in somebody else's car.
No, they don't. Not at all. You joke. No, they want the metal out of the valuable precious metals that are in it.
Okay.
Will the insurance cover?
I'd only get the scrappage from it, more or less. They have to get back on me. They've taken it back up to assess it. So I'm on the lookout. So anyway, there you go, Joe.
Okay.
And I hope it doesn't happen to anybody else.
Yeah, and I know why you get upset. One of the reasons you got upset, I suspect, was because you use it to bring your grandchildren to school.
So you see them and you yap with them every day and you were there
to blow out the candles on your granddaughter's birthday cake.
Yeah. So it left me with a very bad feeling, that's all I can say. And I usually trust everybody, so I've learned to look backwards. All right.
Okay, you mind yourself, Hilary.
Okay.
Thanks indeed
very much,
and happy birthday to your granddaughter.
Thank you very much.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Alex, quickly, taxi driver, centre Dublin, a catalytic converter protector. Alex, where do you get them? How much and who puts it on?
I got it on eBay, Joe. It cost me £65 plus postage. It was about €100 all in.
And who put it on for you?
My mechanic, he just unbolted 6 bolts underneath the car and bolted this back on with the power gun, so it covers the whole catalytic converter.
And do you have to pay to get it? Of course you have. They're workmen as well, workwomen. So much in total to get the piece and to get it installed?
It was €20 to get it installed and €100 for the...
Okay, it works.
Okay. It's just another plate just to protect the area where they can't cut the pipe and pull the whole catalytic.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Alex. Good to meet you, Mahogut. And by the way, next Friday, it's a long time till next Friday, by the way, but we'll be here all week. Next Friday is Funny Friday in the Hardyman Hotel in Eyre Square in Galway. BCO Lawley Davis, Pat O'Carney on sound, research by Richie Byrne, Angus McAnally produced, Rebecca Meehan is the producer in charge, and Ray Darcy is next.